morning when I was riding here. This is a special day for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're in church and you're raising children and you just don't know what you don't know. You know, but what I felt like the Lord was saying to me this morning was, I'm writing a story. And if your story ain't good yet, then your story ain't over. And God is in the business of bringing beautiful things up out of ashes.
That's right.
And Mary and I have known each other, like he said. Our parents were a part of a community that actually her grandparents started. Her grandparents are Harry and Louise Bazell. And they started that community called the Lamb's Chapel back in Charlotte years ago. But the cool thing was, is that we were birthed in that time, but, and I don't know if she's going to share this, so I'm not totally going to, were you going to share anything about when we were?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so I'm not going to share it all. But the cool thing was, is that, you know, the Lord was just saying to me, you know, I was doing things in you when you were young that you didn't know. We have been best friends. She was my maid of honor in my wedding. I was in her wedding. You know, it was one of the cool things is it's not like we've always been around each other and we've always been at each other's houses all our whole lives. You know, those ideas of what best friends have to look at like. Now, we did, you know, I learned how to shave and learned how to do makeup at her house when I was little. It was all the things, but God was grafting a story in us and the Lord, and we walked through really hard loss together, and then to see God prick her heart. And are you going to tell the story about your grandfathers? Okay, so she called me the other day. She said, "Sarah, do you remember when we used to hang out when we were little?" And we hung out at her grandparents' house, and they had this extra little, like, building that, and we would go out there and we would play church. And she said, here, come up here for a second. She said to me, she was like, "Do you remember the song we wrote when we were little?" And I was like, "No." Okay, so tell it.
What's the song? What's the words? What's the words? Maybe
sing a song.
Well, tell the words.
Well, okay, so the song, I remember this song. You know how sometimes like you remember things really vividly from your childhood? And this is one of my really vivid memories, so I was kind of surprised when she didn't remember it, but it's obviously more important to me. But the words to this little song that we wrote were, "I have a voice that God gave to me. I made a choice that I decided to follow him forever. Together we will stand and tell about our Lord. We'll tell all the people the things he's done and given us."
Mm. Isn't that cool? And who knew? I mean, really, who knew?
How old were y'all when you were?
I don't know, like
eight or nine.
Eight or nine.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah. Wow. Eight or nine. I mean, when we were like just playing church. Yeah. Now, we've also done crazy things together.
You don't have to tell about that.
I don't have to tell about it, but I'm just saying, don't worry when your kids get into messes sometimes and think, "Oh, Lord, help." Because the thing is that God did something in our lives, and this is a story today. You know, the Lord was just reminding me, like, this is one of those beautiful things that only God can write the story of. Only God. You know, and we are a part of a bigger story than us.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wanting to say, is we're a part of this big story, and Jesus is writing his story through us, and he's grafting us in to a greater story that's pretty amazing. And what we're doing through planting these churches, I believe, is going to be for generations after generations after generations after generations. 100-year vision, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Amen.
It's going to be good.
Amen. Yeah, so they're starting River Life Wilmington in 2023/24. So that's why they're here this morning, but also just to share the word of the Lord and their vision and what God's put in their heart, because we're all doing this together.
Yeah.
We're in this together. River Life Mooresville, River Life Chapel Hill. This is what we're invited into, and I believe it's from the Lord. I believe it's not just like a good idea. I know it's from the Lord. The Lord is inviting us because he cares about his heart for healing for the nations. And how many know, have you ever been in a location where you live where you just couldn't quite find a church? I mean, there were churches there. You just couldn't quite find that place that God had for you. And I believe River Life Wilmington, they already have gathered some people. Brian will talk about that. But so I just want you to pray with me as Ryan comes up here. And then at the end, we'll have a time for everybody to lay hands on you and give you words too. But come on up here. If you guys want to just agree with me. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. For what you've done in Ryan and Mary, Lord. What you're doing in them. Lord, and we just agree with heaven right now. We say yes.
Yes,
yes and amen.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you that you have marked us with a promise.
Yeah.
And Lord, that you've given us cities and nations, Lord, for your kingdom. Lord, for the sick to be healed and the bound to be set free. Lord, for a year of jubilee to come to Wilmington, North Carolina. And Lord, we just thank you for all the kingdom ministries that are there and the partnership that you've given us with them. Lord, we just ask, God, for your presence to come more and more. Lord, I pray that even as Ryan and Mary share their hearts, Lord, that your glory would remain upon them.
Yes.
And we just bless them. Thank you for them today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Well, we are so excited to be here. It's amazing. And I know we don't know a lot of you all, so I don't know if that makes it good or bad. Like, I might not be able to just rely on my wit. I might have to bring something really good. So we'll see how that goes. But we want to share, like Matthew said, y'all, our heart is that River Life Wilmington is as much a part of River Life Chapel Hill as it is River Life Mooresville. So we really want y'all to catch this thing. We really want y'all to feel like you too are birthing something, because you are.
Yeah.
It's a part of this family that we're doing this thing, and we're going to share more about that today. We want to share a little bit who we are, so we'll give you a little backstory. We'll probably tell a little stories today, right? So it won't be like a normal maybe sermon, but we'll be sharing some things about who we are and how we got here, what we feel like God's doing, what he's been saying to us about Wilmington, and also kind of where we're at and what's happening next. So a little bit of practical things on the end. How's that sound? Does that sound okay?
Good.
Y'all ready for a little story?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've been around for a little while. We've been married for almost 23 years.
Woo!
Is that right? Almost 23 or over 23?
Over
23.
Yeah.
Over 23 years.
We
thanks.
Got married the same year.
We got 99. Married like 2 months after Matthew and Sarah. So we love each other. We've been around. She doesn't look like she could have been married 23 years ago. But we have three amazing kids. Oliver, he's 20. My daughter Charlie is 18. She actually lives in Wilmington. And then we have a daughter 16 who's back in Mooresville. And they couldn't be with us today, although they all wanted to be. But they had stuff to do. They had work to do. Really, our life has been marked even all the way back to when y'all were hearing stories. Our whole life's been marked about chasing after the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, just what are you doing, Lord, and how can we be a part of it?
Yeah.
And on one hand, it's not surprising to us that we're where we are. Mm-hmm. He kind of tricked us into getting us where we are. But we've really been after the Lord our whole life. But one of the things that, did you want to say anything about our history? Your history? Okay. One of the things that we found ourselves, like within the last couple years, I'd say 2-3 years ago, and we found ourselves in this place where God's favor was on us. God's favor has been on us. It's been on our family. It's been on our businesses. It's been in our relationships. It's been on us. And in the middle of that amazing favor of God resting and being real in our life, we found ourselves in this season where we were like sleepwalking. We were just kind of going through the motions. And I'm going to turn it over to Mary. We're going to put our best foot forward. So Mary's going to talk first for a few minutes. And she's going to tell you a little bit more about what we mean by that.
Yeah. Oh, I did want to backtrack just a little bit, because I wanted to encourage you guys. Like, mostly what I'm going to share is just a testimony of God's goodness and his, you know, just ongoing pursuit of us and our hearts and how he wants all of us. But one thing that I just wanted to highlight today was just how important relationship and testimony are. And, you know, when you have a best friend, you can be jealous, like in a bad way of things, but you can also be jealous in a good way of things. And Sarah and I've had that happen to us a lot in our lives. And, so like, I mean, I remember back in like when I went to YWAM, when I graduated from high school, and I came back and I was like, oh my gosh, I had this experience and I was just talking about it. I was so excited. And Sarah was like, wait a minute, that sounds really good. I think I want to do that too. So, you know, she was provoked to jealousy in a good way for that. And when she became a pastor's wife, I didn't really, like, that. I wasn't jealous about that. I was like, you can have that. I don't want to do that. But apparently that's not the plan the Lord had. So we're over here right now. But so I just wanted to share my testimony and share about the goodness of God so that you guys could really be stirred up and activated about what he wants to do in your life. And how, you know, there's a lot of times when you think it's going to look one certain way, and then it, you know, you get disappointed because things happen, and you fall into a season of even like depression about it, because you think like, oh man, I thought my life was going to be this one thing, and then it wasn't. And so I want to tell you, like, you know, sort of my story of like how I got from being like relieved that I wasn't a pastor's wife to like, actually, this is what we're doing right now. So, I mean, what Ryan was talking about, sleepwalking, you know, we just have, you just, sometimes life is busy and life is hard. And so we, you know, we were just living our normal life. Like we had kids, we both worked, we went to church, you know, we love the Lord. We're praying, we're having, you know, devotions, whatever. And it's never like we totally walked away from the Lord. It's never, you know, we didn't just like say like, oh, I'm just going to be like spiritually kind of like on the down low. Like I'm not going to put myself out there or do anything. But that's really where we found ourselves. And we were just in this like kind of coasting, you know. Yeah. And it's easy to get complacent. It's easy to not, you know, I mean, that's like what our brains are wired to do. Our brains are wired for comfort. Mm-hmm. And so like stepping out of your comfort zone is, it sounds really dangerous to your brain, and your brain just wants to, you know, delete every attempt at like growth, you know? And so, yeah. You know, I just got into this place that it's like the Lord birthed in my heart a hunger and a desire for him. Yeah. And it started out by just like me talking to some of my friends, and I was just like, I'm just like so hungry for the Word right now. I feel like, yeah, I read devotions every day, and yeah, but I was at this place where I felt like I wasn't growing and I wasn't really experiencing, like, because I know I've been around the Lord and the glory and the presence for long enough that I know like it shouldn't be boring, you know. And so I felt really bored spiritually, and I felt like I just really need to get into the Word, because I know that something changes when you renew your mind. Amen. And when you seek after the truth and ask the Holy Spirit to come in and illuminate those things too. So I was just like talking to my friends, and we all kind of said together, like, we should start a Bible study, you know. And, you know, we could have waited for somebody to say like, hey, I'm going to do this function at church and you should come be a part of it. But we were like, no, we need this. So we're going after this. And so we did that. We started a Bible study, and it was like our hunger. Like for me, I said, I just did not even know how hungry I was until I started feasting.
Yeah.
And it's like the more and more I went after like what the Lord was, you know, had for us, the more he like activated that hunger inside of me. And I just felt like I was in a season of this like spiritual activation and incubation. And, you know, growth happens during the incubation process.
Yeah.
And kind of that's like where we were sort of in the first part of last year. And then we had like this prophetic conference that a lot of you guys were at. And we did another Bible study. We kind of are doing it like seasonally, just to give ourselves like, because we know like we have busy lives and it's good to like do things like in the speed of grace. Ryan will talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, we did this other second Bible study, and I just really felt like the Lord was opening up to me this whole thing about Ephesians 2:10. And, like, when I was growing up, Ephesians 2:10, like I read everything out of the NIV version, and like all of my like Bible verses that I've memorized are from the NIV version. And I would read this Bible verse and just get like sort of a lump in my throat about it and be like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to read it for you. It says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And I got hung up on this and I was like, okay, God prepared something. And in my mind, it was the singular one thing. It was like my calling. What am I supposed to do with my life? You know, what is the one thing that he has called me to do? Mm-hmm. And as I was doing like this Bible study, I was reading this thing. I have actually still have, my mom got me a YWAM Bible and it was like written and published by YWAM. And there's like a lot of little different things that are like little devotionals and little commentary and stuff. And I read this and it said, "Why am I here? Well, we have been called to walk in harmony with our God and with fellow believers. Our destiny is to cooperate with God as he enables us to do good works." And like, for some reason, I saw the S on the end of that word, works, plural. It's not singular. It's not you wake up and you are called all of a sudden to be a nurse, or all of a sudden you're called to be a teacher, or all of a sudden you're called to be a dog breeder. You know, it's like the Lord has things for you to do every single day to participate with what he's doing.
Right.
And he wants to release the kingdom through us.
Yeah.
He can do miracles on his own, guys.
Yeah.
He can. But he wants you to enjoy fellowship with him while he's doing it.
Yeah.
He wants us to get the benefits too.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was one thing, this partnering thing. And I said, okay, Lord, like, that's what I want. I don't want to be a bored Christian. I don't want to just sit here and, like, you know, sleepily read through my little one Bible verse a day. Like, I want to participate. I want to be active.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like, you know, where I just sort of gave the Lord my yes. And I just feel like, you know, one of the things that the Lord has really been unpacking for me lately is this whole thing about the parable of the talents. And that, you know, a lot of people think it has a lot of different meanings, but I was actually even this week reading about the parable of the talents, and you know, they were saying that the talents represent like what has been given to us in the kingdom realm, you know. And the master, or God the Father, he is all about multiplication. He wants us to take what we know about the kingdom and multiply it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so that's what we're here to do. You know, we want to take what the Lord has given us.
Yes.
You know, and we've given him our yes, and we want to see him multiply the kingdom in Wilmington.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, amen. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah.
That's really good. Thanks, babe. Hey, it's all downhill from there, y'all. That was the best part, I told you. I'll add a little. Okay, y'all all right?
Yeah.
All right, let's wake up. Here we go. I'm going to kick it into overdrive here. We got a lot of stories to tell. And I'm going to get right under the light so I can actually see your faces. Yeah. Right? You ever do that? You're on stage. I'm like, I can't see anybody. All right. I think maybe the only thing I'd add about our history is that my life, I was in early high school. Well, just out of high school, early college, I felt God calling me into ministry. And really struggled, fought him about it, actually. He and I had a fight. He won. But I've been working my whole life to try to figure out what this thing looks like. And I think what Mary was sharing was really a key, right? It's not a thing. It's all the things.
Yeah.
So I want to jump forward. And I want to talk a little bit about Mary. She started getting re-engaged in this thing coming alive in her to get back involved and be fully present, fully involved. And that sparked something in me. How many know sometimes the ladies are out ahead of us, you know,
It's
catching some revelation before we are. That's a story of real life, right? A lot of times women will go off to the women's retreat and come back and the rest of the church gets wrecked because they come back with something. So that was kind of my testimony. And I started having conversations with the Lord. All right, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's get back. I'm ready to get back engaged. I'm ready to move forward. And all of a sudden, man, it was like the floodgates of heaven opened. Careful what you ask for. And things started happening in my life. You know, Mary was getting wrecked. I got a call from my brother-in-law. He's like, hey, Ryan, you want to go to Mexico in 10 days? I'm like, what? Yeah, it'll be great. Just come on this missions trip. I'm like, I got a full-time job. I'm an executive at a software company. What do you mean go to Mexico for 10 days? I can't. What? And I did, and it was amazing. But then things start happening, right? We were showing up Friday night, worship nights, first Friday of every month down in Mooresville. And we'd been going off and on, you know, but we really started committed to be there. Every time we step foot in the door, somebody have a prophetic word for us. You know, it's like the voice of God just started being amplified in our ear. I think because we said yes. He's like, oh, okay. You said yes. So we started, you know, feeling, hearing all these words. We started getting this energy around doing stuff. About that time, my daughter was in Wilmington. I mentioned that earlier. And Mary and I were like, you know what? Let's move to Wilmington. We've always wanted to go to the coast. How many of you vacation at the beach? Some people, we vacation at the beach all the time. And, well, whenever we can, we try to get down there. But we've been vacationing at the beach for years. And every time we're there, we look at houses, you know. I can't, but God, I couldn't afford one of these houses we've ever looked at. We would actually like go visit them. But, you know, we pick up brochures or look online. Like, we want to be at the beach. So our heart's been to be at the beach. And so we're like, hey, my daughter, Kylie, our youngest, she's going to graduate at the time in 2 years. She'll be graduating. So let's move to the beach. And we thought maybe the Charleston area was going to be cool. But then my daughter lives in Wilmington, so I'm like, well, that could be interesting. And then River Life School of Ministry kicks back off about the same time. And talking about this class, it's 2 years in length, and this heartbeat of let's plant churches as part of River Life started, you know, coming back to the surface. We've kicked it around for decades, right? But it started coming back to the surface. Part of this, River Life School of Ministry lets equip people to go out. So I was like, oh, well, babe, this could be really cool. Kylie graduates. We can move to the beach. Always wanted to be at the beach. We'll go to Wilmington and River Life Wilmington. We could really help whoever's going to start River Life Wilmington. We've done a little bit of everything at the church, right? I've been an elder. We've done children's ministry. We've done worship ministry. We could really help somebody. This would be great. We could go just really, man. Well, then all of a sudden, we started having this hunch that maybe it was going to be a little bit more than just helping. You know, I got this FaceTime one day from Chuck and George. They were in the parking lot at Kmart down in Wilmington, this abandoned Kmart. Y'all, this wasn't like a small little neighborhood Kmart. It was like a super Kmart. You remember those?
Yes.
Before the super, well, super Kmart. He was in the church, he was in the parking lot on FaceTime. And he was like, Ryan, this place would be great. Look at all this parking. Chuck! Yeah, there's probably plenty of parking. We were joking about it the other night. We're like, we could park people inside of a building out there. And, you know, started calling, honestly, if y'all haven't had Chuck excited about something in your life, he's like slides up on your DMs and starts texting you all the time. It's a floodgate, talking about floodgates. He's been calling us out and just encouraging us. And we started hearing that from other people too. Just these words that were encouraging us and drawing us and really, really pushing us in a good way down this path of, wow, maybe we aren't going to be just helping River Life Wilmington. Maybe we're actually going to help, like, be a lead team for this and be the pastors. And that kind of progressed and progressed and progressed. In the practical, my parents just moved down from Iowa. My mom and dad, like, great-great-great-something grandmother came over from Ireland. We have the records. Her kids moved to Iowa. Bought property. That's where we've been ever since as a family. So 2 years ago, we moved my mom and dad from Iowa to Mooresville. They live in the same cul-de-sac that we live in. So after generations and generations and generations of being farmers in Iowa, we moved my folks. My brother's in Columbia, South Carolina. My other brother's in Greenville. My other brother's in Mooresville. And my sister and her family came down with my mom and dad. We got all of us right here. Get together all the time. My dad comes over every morning for coffee. My wife and I are like, who is going to tell my mom and dad that we're moving to Wilmington? Not it. My sister and I play this game called Nose Go. Some of you know, like, who can touch their nose? Whoever touches their nose last
has to be the one to do the thing nobody wants to do. So my sister and I. Well, my sister ended up telling my mom and dad. They got so excited. They got so excited. Flash forward, they bought a house and they're living there part time. They're living there. And my mom and dad, who left the farm, my dad left farming when I was in high school to go back to seminary to open a church. And they planted churches.
Wow.
And I'll tell a little bit of a story in a minute, but like they have been out of the church now for years. Years. Because, you know, they got hurt and broken. But their heart was planting a church. And they're like, if y'all are doing this, we want to be a part of it.
Wow.
And it's amazing. It's amazing how God moves. Yeah, it's so good. So it's really good. And we're excited. There's a couple things that ultimately kind of pushed us over the edge. And we ultimately gave our yes to the Lord. I want to tell you just about one of those. I was sitting in Wilmington. We were down there. My daughter plays volleyball. And so we have done a lot of trips to go watch her play volleyball. And she was playing for Cape Fear Junior College down there. And we were down there for the weekend for a tournament. We were in this Airbnb. My dad was there with us. I was sitting at this table, and I was reading this book that I thought was going to be required reading for River Life School of Ministry. So I got out ahead of it. And then Matthew has not assigned one single page from that book, y'all. But he assigns hundreds of pages a week. Hundreds, that's not really hundreds of pages a week, but it's a lot of reading, right? It's a lot of reading for me. I don't read a lot. Anyway, so I was going to get ahead of it. Here I was getting ahead of it. And it was this book about writing your prophetic map. And so I was writing out my prophetic. I was just going through some of these activities to kind of get ready for school. And I was writing out. And the assignment in the book was write out what you see God doing in your life and be very specific about what you see in your future. And so I was like, okay, here I go. But before I do that, God, I'm actually going to write down all the things that haven't worked out in my life. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea. I literally thought this was a good idea. And you know what? So I started writing out the dreams that I had that had died. This is a really morbid story. I don't know why I'm telling it. I wrote out the dreams that I had in my life as a young adult. I was chasing this thing. God's called me to ministry. Here I go. Well, this died. I thought this would happen. It died. I thought this would happen. Mary and I really went after this one. It died. Okay, Lord. So I just want to document. Okay, y'all, I thought this was a good idea. I want to document the things that didn't work out to protect my heart. So that if this thing doesn't work out like I think it's going to, I kind of knew it going in.
Wow.
So that's what was behind this, I think. So I was writing this stuff down, and as soon as I finished the last one, God said, Ryan, those were not your dreams. Those were other men's dreams. And you attached yourself to those dreams because they sounded like things that are in your heart.
Wow.
But they were not your dreams. And it's like something broke. Something broke, y'all. Something I've been carrying for 20 years about dead dreams just broke.
Come on.
Hey, y'all, let me tell you right now, if you've had a dead dream in your life, doesn't mean it's over.
Yeah.
And God's got something else for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who said it earlier? Sarah said it.
The story's not over.
If your story's not over yet, or if your story's not in a good place, God's not done with you yet. And God has dreams for you.
Come on.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
And they might look like they're different. And they might have been somebody else's dreams. But God's got dreams for you.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, y'all.
That's good.
Yeah.
Hey, do not leave this room until you grab that.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to let some stuff go.
Yeah.
God's working it out for our good.
Yeah.
That's the promises.
That's the truth.
Okay? All right.
That's good.
So that pushed me over the edge, as you might imagine. And I said, all right, Lord, I'm in. And finally, Mary and I gave our yes to the Lord. And we're super excited. We're really excited about doing this thing and scared to death at the same time.
Yeah.
It's really crazy. So there's a few things that I wanted to share today to let you in on where our heart is for River Life Wilmington and what we feel like the Lord's been saying to us specifically. First of all, we want to release like this whole River Life thing. Right? River Life, obviously we love the Lord, we love the Holy Spirit, right? We love the presence. Those are like just go without saying. We have five core values at River Life that we talk about
the class, Real Life School of Ministry, is actually built around these core values. So we're going to be taking those for sure to River Life Wilmington. So those are the Father's love, kingdom culture, grace life, the Holy Spirit, alive and well, active, and heavenly worship. Those are the five core values. So we'll be taking those. As a matter of fact, last week in Wilmington, I shared about those and unpacked a little bit to start giving people a taste for what we're going after when we get down there. So we're excited about that. But we're also excited about River Life Wilmington being a very unique expression of River Life, right? We're a family. Y'all, we're family.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it. I'm like that cousin that shows up at a family reunion that you never knew you had. Right? That's why I'm here today. And I know you don't know me, but we're family. All right? So like it or not, you're in. You're in on this thing. All right? So here we are. We're family. We're cousins. Right? River Life Wilmington, River Life Chapel Hill, River Life Mooresville. So we're going to release. And our family house, our house, is going to probably look a little bit different than this house.
Yeah.
Our house will look a little bit different than Mooresville. How many of y'all have been to Mooresville to the prophetic conference or worship? It looks a little different, right?
Yeah.
So we are excited about being uniquely who we are.
Yeah.
And releasing the gifting that my wife and I have, in that place.
Yeah.
And to be a reflection of the body in that place. Some things that we're excited about, we're all about hospitality. The Lord was talking to me about this thing, and I was like, Lord, I don't know what people will show up to ever see, hear me talk, you know, or be a part of a church. And he's like, Ryan, I called Peter to feed my sheep. I was like, oh, I can feed people. I know how to feed people.
Yeah.
So we love hospitality. We love taking care of people.
That's right.
So we want to take care of people. Like, the Lord's putting me like a pastoral heart for sure. And so we want to lean into that and be hospitable. We want to be authentic. We want people to feel safe. We want people to feel like they can join a family, that they're part of something.
Yeah.
So that's all. We're really passionate about that. We're passionate about diversity, you know, and being a reflection of the kingdom in Wilmington. Y'all listen, about 3 years from now, I don't want to give a timeline. Let's just say some years from now, if you come down to Wilmington, it's just a bunch of people my age that have my color skin. We just like shut the door. Just like shut the door. Because that's not what we're looking for. We want to be an expression of the body.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it. Yeah. All right. So here's something that God's been revealing to us specifically. I'm going to walk through these pretty quick. He's talking about identity. I was downtown Wilmington. We were eating at this little brewery outside. Y'all been down on Broad Street in Wilmington.
Front Street.
Front Street, thank you. My wife, her spiritual gift is accuracy. And so thank God for people. She will get the details right. Janet Moore, I know you know. You know. All right, so we were down on Broad Front Street. Front Street, we were eating. Oh, yeah, literally the name of the restaurant is Front Street Brewery. That's hilarious, yeah. Okay, we're on Front Street, we're eating. God spoke to me, Ryan, people in Wilmington need identity. I was like, well, that's easy, Lord. We all need identity. But he didn't let me stop there, right? He started, like, we really need identity. In this culture that we live in today, and I'm not just talking about the college age group at UNC Wilmington or Cape Fear. I'm talking about us as a culture.
Yes.
We need identity.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
And we've had this privilege of living under, as River Life a community, we've talked a lot about identity. Because it's wrapped up in the Father's love, right?
Yeah.
It's wrapped up in who we are as kids.
Yeah.
So we'll be preaching Romans 8, 15 through 16. We'll make this sermon official and share some Bible verses. You've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, receive God's Spirit.
Yes.
And when He adopted you as His own, we now call Him Abba Father. Abba. Abba Father. Abba, you've heard it. Yeah. It was the vernacular of the day to say Papa, Daddy.
Yeah.
It's what a kid would have called his dad. And we get to call our Father in heaven Daddy. That's how close we are. He's not some faraway God.
Yeah.
And in that being adopted as children, as kids of this King of Kings, and all the benefits that we have of being part of a royal family, we find ourselves, right?
Yeah.
We can find, if you want to, you can find yourself in that.
Yeah.
Man, that solidifies everything.
I'll tell you what, one of the things I love telling my kids when they were growing up is that I loved their mom more than I loved them. It kind of wreck them, actually. They got really mad at me the first few times. My youngest daughter, she got so mad at me because I love her mom more than I love her. And I was like, baby, trust me. You want me to love your mother more than I love you. Because if your mom and I are have this relationship and confidence in the Lord, then you too can be confident in who you are. That's who we are as kids.
Yeah, that's right.
If we can rest ourselves in God, then we can be confident in who we are.
That's right.
Okay, so we're going after that in Wilmington.
Yeah.
Okay, we're so excited. We're actually going to be on the lookout for people coming in the door that need to know who the Father is.
Yeah.
And who they are in Him. God's been positioning us, we believe, also to reach the hurt and the heartbroken. And maybe particularly people who have been hurt and heartbroken by the church. God revealed this in a dream to me, which I won't unpack today, but he was showing me some things in the dream, and we were sharing it in Mooresville and talking some about it. And in a nutshell, you know, really feeling like God's showing, we do a great job as a church, uppercase C, helping people get saved by grace. How many of you know Romans 3:23, right? We're all sinners. We've all fallen short, but by the grace of God, right?
Yeah.
Through the grace of God, we get in good with God. And we are saved because of what Jesus did on the cross. Am I right?
Right.
Okay, we all know that. Here's the problem. Sometimes in church, we stay there. Or we go back there. We get saved, and then we somehow remind ourselves that we're sinners. And that we've fallen short of the glory of God. And we go back to Romans 3:23. Y'all, we were called to go past it.
Yeah. Come on.
Because then in the rest of Romans, it talks about grace.
Yeah.
Yes. And the spirit of life.
Yeah.
And focusing on that and not focusing on sin. But as a church, we go back and we focus on sin. As people, we go back and we say, I need to get better. I need to do better. I need to try harder. Oh, I'm not good enough. I better do some more things. Oh, maybe my folks don't love me. Better get a better grade. Right? We're terrible.
Yeah.
We're terrible as parents. We're terrible as a church, uppercase C. About also then heaping onto that. Do better. Get better. Where's your sin? How are you doing? Why are you not right? Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
As a culture, we kind of expect people to get their lives right after they get saved.
Yeah.
Come on. We can't do anything to get our lives right.
That's right.
Amen.
We're broken. But God.
But
God. Because we just stay in grace.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah.
We just stay in grace.
Amen.
We stay in the goodness of God. And then He helps us work the things out. We can't go back and do it ourselves, y'all. We couldn't get right in the first place in our own strength. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we stay right the same way we got right. We stay right by staying in grace.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we feel like people are brokenhearted because the church has not been nice to them. And the church has crushed them and said stuff over them that they shouldn't have. The church has put expectations on them that are not from the Lord. So we're looking forward to people who need victory in life, who need to get set free from some things that the church did. How many of y'all know that when the Lord reveals something, it's for maybe the corporate, like what I'm talking about right now, but also maybe sometimes it's for you. So if that's you, I just release that to you. You're set. I set you free. From the church, how the church has hurt you. And I'm sorry that the church hurt you. But Jesus did not hurt you. That was not Him. That was people trying to do some things, and they probably had good intentions. But it was not Jesus. So I just encourage you to take that to Him and let Him make it right.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
we're sharing some things like this. I shared the name of the person in the dream. His name was Victoria. Somebody came up to me after church, approached me later. She said, nope, not one person in this room except for my husband knows that my birth name was Victoria. Wow. And the church has put me through a hard time. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was cool. Woo! So I love how God says something. He does it in the Bible too. He gives a word for now.
Yeah.
And then fast forward. He fulfilled it in a different way, years, decades, generations later.
Yeah.
here we are living in some of that. All right, finally, God's been speaking to me about prepping for what's ahead. I had a dream just a couple weeks ago. And I was dreaming, and I was in a military recruitment facility. I was going through this military recruitment process. It was interesting. I was like, whoa, Lord, that's weird. He was like, you know, that when you feel like a dream's from the Lord. Because not all my dreams are from the Lord, right? But I was feeling like this one was. And the next day, we're at River Life School of Ministry. One of the classmates there, Jeff Miller, said to me, Ryan, I see you washing your hands with military green soap. Like the Lord's calling you to service. I was like, well, that's funny. Because I just had a dream about that last night. But the Lord is getting ready to prepare us. I feel like that's for Wilmington in particular. I'm going to invite you on the fight because I feel like the Lord is getting ready to set us up to do some battle and to do some warfare in Wilmington, for Wilmington, with Wilmington.
Yeah.
We're getting ready. We're getting ready. And up to this part, we've been talking a lot about the Father's love and grace. And then this message comes in about warfare. And I'm like, whoo. Let's go pick a fight. I used to tell that. I think I told that to Matthew. I used to tell it to Marlon, too, when we do ministry together in places. I'd be like, come on, let's go pick a fight.
Yeah.
Let's get up and stir some things up. Let's pick a fight. So we're ready to pick a fight. But here's how Jesus does battle. It's a little bit interesting because it's not traditional warfare. See, Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, said, turn the other cheek. He said, love your enemies. Do good to those that curse you. Right? Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. So it might look a little bit different, but I don't think it has less energy than fighting a fight. Ephesians 6:12 says we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. We got some work to do.
Yeah.
We got to fight to fight. And we need you to be a part of it from here or from there, wherever you choose. We need you to be a part of it, y'all. So I'm just going to invite you into that. We need you to be a part of it. We need you to be praying for us. We need you to be going after it with us, especially as we get established.
Yeah.
We got this outpost out there, right? But we're getting ready to go set up a more permanent fort that we can start doing battle. But here's what's interesting. This is cool. I heard it on the way here. I put in my notes, but God's already won the battle.
Yeah.
Jesus has already won this fight,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's already won. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to pull on that. But we need to start from there.
Mm-hmm.
On the way here, we were listening to a sermon, and I'm going to totally steal this, just unashamedly. It was Levi Lusco. He was sharing, and he said, God created Adam on the sixth day. God created Adam. What's first thing that Adam did, he went to sleep. He's like, Adam, I just got here. You just literally created me, literally, on the sixth day. And then it was evening and morning, and the day was good. That was it. God put him, like, he went to rest. And then what happens next? Gets ready to name the animals? Nope. The seventh day was a day off. I just got here. Adam just got here. And you put me to sleep, and then you're telling me to rest? Rest from what? I haven't done anything yet. God, yeah, I have. I've done it all.
Yeah, that's good.
Y'all, we get a step into the spot where we get a rest.
Come on.
God's done it. And we're in this spot, y'all. We're drafting, if there's any race folks. We are drafting behind God right now, y'all. And he's got a big, fast rig that's out in front of us. We can feel it. We go to take this little one step and it ends up being like this. But it's easy. But we didn't expect it. And by the way, if we had expected it, we probably wouldn't have done it. But he is out in front of us and we can feel this pull. Our gas mileage right now is amazing. We're just drafted right behind the Lord. And we want to stay in that pocket of rest. Because he's done it. So we're going to agree with him.
Yeah.
We're going to be on the lookout for what the Father's doing, and we're going to do that.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about wait and see. Right? Because wait and see can sometimes get behind the wrong pace car. Right? That car that's moving really slow around the track,
And you got to wait and see behind it. So we don't want to wait and see behind the wrong things. We want to be right behind the Lord. And as fast as he's moving, Mary alluded to it before, we're calling it the speed of grace. Dave Ramsey, if y'all know of Dave Ramsey, his organization, they move at the speed of cash. That's a saying in their corporation. When they want to invest in a new business, invest in a new building, they move at the speed of cash. The amount of cash that's available is what they decide that they want to do. Now, I'm not preaching that. I'm just saying, we're going to move at the speed of grace.
Yeah, let's go.
What, the grace that's available, the pull that we feel, that's where we're going. And that's how fast we're going to try to keep up. We're going to try to keep up, y'all. But there's a fight. All right, here, I'm going to sum up some things. Woo! We're going after identity. We're drawing people in to who they are as sons and daughters. We are going to help set the brokenhearted free.
Yeah.
People who've been hurt, people who've never felt loved, maybe they were unchurched, we're going to show them the Father's love. And those that have been hurt by the church, we're going to help. I hope we can help. Lord, help us help. Get some people, shake off. And we're prepared to fight a battle. We're going to pick some fights. Hey, y'all, we're going to... Here, let me say this out loud because so you remember it. What's today? February 5th?
Yep.
All right, we're going to cast out demons. We're going to heal the sick.
Right.
We're going to set some people free from leprosy or cancer. Maybe that's today's version of leprosy. We're going to heal people of cancer. And we're going to raise the dead. Because that's the fight that we're picking. You know?
Yeah.
That's the stuff we're in for. So we're excited about that. Oh, man. I'm going to get angry here in a second. All right. So some things that we want to share. We're already meeting the last Sunday of every month. When? The last Sunday of every month. Which months? Every month. There you go. You got it. So the last Sunday of every month, you're invited to come to Wilmington, 2:30 p.m. So you can come after church. Come after church, get you some food in the way. Last Sunday of every month, we were just down in Wilmington last Sunday, and it was amazing. Our plan was to meet in my parents' living room. They have a little bonus room. We're going to meet in the bonus room, probably 10 or 15. My 16-year-old daughter was going to play a couple songs on the guitar. We're going to do like junior high school popcorn prayer style. Whoever was there, just pray. You know what I'm talking about. And then all of a sudden, we started getting people saying, hey, we're coming. Babe, there's going to be at least more than 20 people. We're not going to huddle around one toilet. So let's maybe find a different space to rent. So we rented a hotel meeting room, Holiday Inn, down on Market Street. We have 46 people for our first meeting.
Wow.
Come on. Hey, it's amazing. And I'm not going after numbers. I'm just saying, we wanted to do this. And the draft that I was talking about was like, whoop. Yeah. It was just accelerated. It was amazing. And 27 of those people were local Wilmington people. Many of who are looking for a church or actually have been waiting for River Life to come down for 17, 20 years. River Life used to do Bible studies in Wilmington for about 2 years, 17 years ago. And some of those same people, one couple that met in that Bible study, they're like, come on, when are y'all going to get here? Come on. So we're excited about what God's doing. It's amazing, and it's moving much faster than we thought it was. We've been blessed beyond measure. We had worship. Seth Snyder, one of our worship leaders, was there to lead worship. And we were able to share a little vision. We had communion to just seal the day. And hey, y'all, this is exciting. I'm going to share some details, but not too many, I hope. But when we first started talking about River Life Wilmington, folks from the Cove said, hey, we got a sound system. We got a sound system they can have. Drove over and met Patrick over at the storage unit. He just started loading up this cart full of stuff. Like, y'all need some of this? Y'all want some? Like, what? Well, this, even with the plexiglass, the whole drum kit, guitars. Just loaded it up. We're like, yeah, we'll take everything you can give us. This is amazing. Hey, we served communion out of y'all's communion trays.
Come on.
Sunday.
Good.
And that was significant for us.
Wow.
Yeah. That's not fair. That's family. right? Bringing family, this family, and that's a whole adoption story, right?
Yeah.
Bringing this family to what we're doing in Wilmington, it was an honor. When we broke those trays out, it was an honor, you know, to just bring that. God's been moving, y'all. It's super exciting. So we'd love for you to join us. This is really interesting, Matthew. When we were at Mooresville, Byron said that nobody was off limits in terms of recruiting people to go. Apparently he said the same thing to y'all when you went up here. I won't put you on the spot, but maybe nobody's off limits to come to Wilmington. Move if you're feeling a move. Come on. The beach is close. I won't play dirty, but the beach is close. Hey, if y'all want to come to Wilmington, we need a team. But we also need a team of folks to come be a part of these Sundays, y'all. It's like the body, y'all. There's energy. There's momentum. It's stirring something. We already have a couple worship leaders lined up, but I'm coming after somebody else to come lead worship for us on some of those Sundays. And we got some folks here from Mooresville today. They've been such a support. It's great to see you here. Carolyn and Katie were in Wilmington when we first met, and just having people there, y'all, it's like helpful. It's like water. So come, or come visit. If you don't want to move, come visit. Be praying for us.
Yes.
You know, there's ways that you can get connected. We're on Instagram, River Life Wilmington. On our email, riverlifewilmington@gmail.com. And we have a website. It's just a simple one page. We got it up last week. riverlifewilmington.com. But on riverlifewilmington.com, you'll be able to see ways that you can give. So we're totally unashamedly asking for financial support.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mary and I will likely be moving into a pattern or a period pretty soon where we'll want to quit our jobs, or my job at least probably, or back time or half time. Like, we know how substantial it is to be leading a body. And we want to put everything that we have into that.
Right.
And we will need financial support to make that happen.
Yeah.
April 4th, is that the right date? I just closed my book. I think it's April 4th. Sunday, is that a Sunday? Somebody fact check me. April 4th, thanks. We'll be back here visiting, but we'll also have an informational meeting. April 2nd. April 2nd. We'll be back here. We'll be visiting church, but right after church, maybe we'll go grab some food from Wegmans or something. Come back, and we'll have an informational meeting back here so you can learn more. Hey, the church here has already poured out support. Your elders have made a financial decision to help support us. Y'all, God is moving so much. And it's not because of us, y'all. It's because of what He has. And Mary and I are just dumb enough to say yes. Right? And He's saying, come on then, let's go.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go, kids. Yep. Let's go make this thing happen.
Yeah.
You know? And we're so excited, and we're inviting you to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And it's really good. I'm done. Yeah.
That's so good.
And we're going to pray for Ryan and Mary too, but I just want to say that, you know, I was realizing when we stepped out, when the Lord started speaking these things about the churches that He wanted to plant, and we stepped out to do River Life Chapel Hill. River Life Mooresville did not have a paradigm for planting churches. We'd never done it before. And so it was really kind of like a, okay, Lord, we don't know what this is going to look like, but we're just going to watch You day by day and say, okay, what next? What next? Teach us how to do this. What do you got? You know, what do we not know? But the powerful thing we felt when we were here is that we were not alone.
Yeah, that's right.
We knew we weren't alone. We knew that we had this whole community, River Life Mooresville, backing us. They were our elders for a couple years, you know, so they were in complete communication with us the entire time. Byron helped me and still helps me immensely with bookkeeping kind of questions and things like that. But what I was thinking about this time is the momentum of what God has done, where you see that testimony of look what God's done. But now you've got two churches backing a church, you know, and saying and cheering them on and saying, we're with you. We're here. And I just feel this thing.
I've had words about multiplication that I'm going to share to the church, and I'm going to have preach in the next couple weeks or something. But one of the things that I wanted to share was I had a dream, and in the dream I heard the word, somebody came to me and said, "We want to hire you to teach our clients how to burrow." And I have been having these words about rabbits, but in the dream I woke up and I was like, burrow? To burrow? What does that even mean? I'm going to teach clients to burrow. And then I looked it up and realized rabbits burrow. And I had this whole word, but I felt like the Lord was saying, I want you to be a part. This is our church. This is part of, is that we're going to have communities all over the North Carolina, but there's going to be more than just North Carolina eventually.
Come on.
And that the Lord is going to have us connected. You know, those boroughs are connected. It's like these underground, it's these places of safety, you know, that I believe the Lord is setting up for people, but there's going to be this interconnectedness. And so this is just another one of those places the Lord is setting up. And that is going to be, we're all going to be connected. We're going to see what God is doing, his kingdom come through that. That's so right. Let's pray for them.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks. Who wants to go to the beach? Tiffany one day was like, oh, after church? I'm like, I want to go to the beach. Let's go to the beach.
But so, nobody's off limits, we say that.
No, yeah, I mean, God's, Jehovah Sneaky's messing with some people in here right now. Just say yes and leave the details up to him.
Yeah.
But thank you, Lord.
Come here, Mary.
You're so good. Why don't you guys come down right here on the floor? And I want to invite the church, anybody and everybody who wants to come and pray for them and lay hands on them. I want to give you permission. Come on up here. If you need to leave, you can feel free to do that. There's no compulsion. Don't feel awkward. But we do want to just take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to continue what he started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you guys take about 2-3 steps forward. There we go. That way we can get a lot of people around. Don't be shy. Come on up here. Anybody and everybody. And we just want to release the words of heaven. I will say this before we pray real quickly, is Ryan talked about picking a fight, and we have a kindred spirit about that. And I had well-meaning Christians warn me about picking a fight in Chapel Hill. Did y'all hear me? They were all but saying, do you know what you're about to get yourself into? And I probably didn't, but I said yes anyway, because I knew that my Father was bigger than any principality, any stronghold, anything like that. And I know that Wilmington has a lot there. There's a lot going on there. But God's saying, I've equipped you. I've equipped you, Ryan. I've equipped you, Mary, and the team. I've equipped you for this battle ahead. Because it's not by your might or your power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And he's opening your eyes to see, like Elisha, that there are more who are for us than are against us. And I just see the coast lined with heavenly hosts. That the army of heaven is waiting. And as you've given him your yes, it's activating them to accompany you in the spirit. That the angelic host can now accompany you and others. Others with you to do kingdom things, to do kingdom activities. There's the healing angels there waiting. There's the angels of deliverance waiting. So Lord, we just say yes and amen to this. And all that you're doing in Wilmington, North Carolina, God. We thank you, God, that you have a plan and a purpose. And so we just agree with you right now, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in Wilmington as it is in heaven, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Who else has this?
We'll pass the mic.
Last week when it was announced that you were coming, I had a vision. And in the vision, I saw double doors open, which was your building. And as the doors opened, the building turned into the face of God. And he inhaled, and people were compelled to come in off the street. And I heard the word 40s. So I'm not surprised that you had 46 in your first meeting. But I wanted to understand what that meant. Inhalation is where the gas exchange takes place, which is so in line with your vision of ministry. Is that you suck people in off the street, and they're given the glory of God, and all the evil is exhaled out of the same door as you give them the word of God. The gas exchange takes place. And I just want to bless you, Lord. We bless them that when they open their doors, God, that you just compel people off the streets to come into them. That the gas exchange would take place, or those things that they bring with them would be expelled, and the goodness of God would overwhelm them in Jesus' name. Amen.
I don't normally do this, but I know you have. But I really believe that. I saw Jesus is actually washing your feet, like he did with the disciples. And every place that you touch, every place you walk, every place that you put your feet is yours. And it's kind of like when you walk there, it's just going to like fall off you. People are going to feel it when you walk past, and they're going to want it, and it's going to heal. You don't even have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. You're going to walk past, and people are going to feel this, and it's going to be, they're just going to be healed, and they're not going to know why, and they're just going to attach it to the fact that you just walked past them. And so, Lord, I just pray that wherever they lay their feet, Lord, that you will give them that land, Lord, that you will extend their kingdom, their tent pegs, Lord, extend their tent pegs in Jesus' name.
You know, I just keep hearing the Lord saying that he sent people before. And he's asked them to report back and tell him what they see in the land. And they've gone back and they said, Lord, there's giants here. There's giants in this land, Lord. We can't do anything here. But he's sent you two out there. And he's asked, what do you see? And you've chosen to see God there. That even though there are giants in that land, that you have said, yes, Lord, if you send me, if you go forward with me, Lord, this land will be ours for the kingdom. The giants will fall. The giants will fall in the name of Jesus. They have no choice. The second you step foot on the land, they have no choice. They cannot stand in the presence that goes before you, that goes with you, that goes in you, that surrounds you, Lord. That you will surround them. You will surround them all the days of their life because they have said yes. You will honor their yes, Lord. You will honor their yes. You will go forth, Lord. You already have. You've already prepared the way. You've already won that battle, Lord. And you will go forth with them because they have said yes. Because they have said yes, Lord, and they will partner with you to take those giants down. They are not afraid of those giants, Lord. They are not intimidated by those giants because they know how great you are, Lord. They know how great you are. They know that you are the God. You are the God of this land. You are the God of this earth, and that your desire is for the hearts of your people, the hearts of your children who are lost, your children who are hurt, Lord. That is what they go forth with, Lord, and you will honor it. You will honor their yes in the name of Jesus. That is what matters, Lord. Lord, honor their yes, Father. Strengthen them. Strengthen them to go forth, Lord. Put words in their mouth that they don't even know exist yet, Father. And in every situation they encounter, Lord, you will move. You will move forth. You will give them words. You will tell them. They will know what to do because they know you, Lord. They know you in the name of Jesus.
I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to give you the last part of drafting that you need to know about. first part is he's going to go out in front, and you're going to catch, and it's going to start pulling you. And when he gets you up to speed, what he's going to do is he's going to go high when he goes in the corner. You go low. You hear me? It's like he wants you to come around. When you come around him, he's going to get behind you and start pushing. It's called a bump draft.
Yeah.
And when he hits you, it's gonna scare you at first because it's going to be a lot faster than what you're doing. But he's going to turn you loose when you go in the corner. Because if he stays on you in the corner, he's going to turn you around. He won't do that. He ain't going to turn you around. Okay? It's going to be okay. Because he's giving you the best equipment there is. Do you understand that?
Sure.
He's going to give you multiplication.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of sudden fear. You hear me? When he hits you from behind, there's going to be some sudden fear because you've never felt this power before. And when he goes on down through there, he will turn loose and let you go. In the name of Jesus.
Earlier in the midst of communion, and you preached this line, or as you were sharing, so I just see this as confirmation for what the Lord is doing, but I saw a motion of grace, and I saw you and Mary just like riding in this boat, and it was like John 3:8, where it was like when Nicodemus approached Jesus, and Jesus began to explain to Nicodemus that we might not see the wind, but we can see the effects. And I began to see the Holy Spirit begin to blow you all.
Yeah.
But you were being blown with such amazing grace. And I saw the Lord give you, Ryan, as you were preaching, I kept seeing him like change up binoculars and telescopes over you. And it was like he was giving you this grace to explore with him. And you were able to see 3 to 5 years out the vision of the Father's heart. And he says that there is going to be a day where you're going to be caught up in the Spirit, and you're going to have such revelation by encountering Him, where He's going to begin to allow you to see the city of Wilmington in a manner where you're beginning to see the redemptive realities of heaven over the city. And I just feel like there's this assignment from the Lord as you all continue to go forth month after month. He says to secure the ports. He says to find those bridges and those dockets to begin to release the sound of worship. Wow. And as you begin to release the sound of worship, you're going to begin to see things shift supernaturally that people have been trying to do by might, but they couldn't because it had to come in the Spirit.
Spirit, yeah.
Oyane! Oyane! He says he's covering you, both of you and the teams that he will send along, covered in the blood.
Yes.
He says the blood is your access to divine healing. The blood is divine access to seeing recovery. The blood is divine access to those things that you're going to be able to experience in the Spirit. He says there's going to be a message that he begins to birth in you all about the blood and the power of the blood and how to really see people experience the life change of the blood. And so I just bless you all to just rest in his grace.
Yeah.
And to know that wherever the wind blows, it's going to be great. And that the blood is going to be covering you from head to toe.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. Yeah. Yes.
So, two things in confirmation with a lot of what's already been spoken. First is,
Remember, there's a scripture where someone comes into a city and they think they're the only ones. The Lord says, I have many people in the city.
Yeah.
So Lord, I thank you for the many people in Wilmington that are being gathered.
Yes. Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And I also have been thinking about Nehemiah and Nehemiah 1 in particular. And Nehemiah's heart was broken for the condition of God's people whom he loves.
Yeah.
There's a breaking of your heart in love for these people.
Yeah.
And there is a time and an opportunity as you make that next step where the king will look at you and say, why are you sad? And you'll have an opportunity to explain God's heart of love for these people. And as you speak of his love for his people, he's going to say, what do you need? What do you want?
Yeah.
And perhaps with some fear and trepidation, you'll pray.
Yeah.
And then you'll ask the king.
Yes.
And he'll give it to you, and he actually gives you more. Like if you go through Nehemiah 1, Nehemiah asks for a few things, and he gets them. And then the king says, oh, and take this too.
Yeah.
And take this too. And then when you're there, all those people that are already there will be part of the building and the rebuilding.
Yeah.
And there will be a season where you will be building with one hand and a sword in the other. And he will keep you focused. And he'll say, I'm too busy to pay attention to you down there. I have work to do that the Lord's given me.
Yeah.
So I just bless you with that Nehemiah anointing to go rebuild the walls, to gather the people of God together, to encourage their hearts, to see them each take responsibility and ownership of what God has given them, and to stand in their identity. Yeah, just bless you in that, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Nehemiah, he was facing bullies like Sanballat, when he said, come see me, Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was like, no, I can't. I don't have time to even entertain your lies, because he was trying to thwart the plans that God had given this vision. He was trying to stop it. And so Nehemiah said, nope, I know this trick. I don't have time for that. And so we just thank you, Lord, that these two have walked with you.
Yes.
They have walked with you, and they know the tricks of the enemies. And the voices that will come, and they will shut them down so fast. It'll be like a supernatural shutdown, too. That it's like, oh, nope. And then, like, they're fueled up to keep walking towards the vision and keep executing the plan. And in Daniel 10, Daniel was fasting and praying. And I guess it felt dry because he had a vision. And the angel came and said, Daniel, oh precious one, you are precious to God. And ever since your first prayer, I have been moving on your behalf. I have been moving on your behalf. I have heard your prayer since the first prayer. And it says it again, Daniel, do not be afraid, for you are precious to God. You are precious to God, and God loves you too so much. Daniel couldn't like open his mouth because he was like so overtaken by this vision. And then they said, open your mouth and be strengthened. God strengthened him, and he was able to rise. He was able to continue to commune with God in that moment. And so I just thank you, Lord, that you are strengthening these two.
Yes.
That they are a powerhouse, that they would never doubt their voices.
Yes.
That in the moment, God, where they feel like they can't open their mouth, that they will open their mouth. And that you are the one who will strengthen them and lift their head. In this vision of Daniel, he actually saw a hand come and lift his head up. So we thank you, God, for this intimacy that you have with these two, this powerhouse couple.
Amen.
And we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
That they are going to draw people in to this burrow of safety and connection and the Father's love. We are behind them 1,000%, and we love them.
Yes.
And
love them even more.
Yes.
Woo, so thank you, Holy Spirit, for going before them and preparing the way.
Thank you, Lord.
What I keep hearing is Psalms 139, 5 and 6. I will go before you and remove the obstacles out of the way. I will go behind you and protect you from the harm of the past.
That's good.
My hand of provision and protection is on you, and there I will bestow a blessing.
Yes.
So we thank you, Father God, that your word is true. We're in agreement with this word, and like you said, we're all backing you.
Yes.
We're all with you in this. And there have been those who had plowed the ground.
Yeah,
there have
that's
been
right.
those that have been there that have been tilling the ground and waiting for you to come.
Yeah,
you
that's
are
it.
An answer to prayer.
Yes.
So remember when you were new parents, your children were young, and they caused you to grow and mature. You became more selfless.
Yeah.
This move to Wilmington will be the same. As River Life grows, so will you. Spending yourself, staying in grace as you serve. And I'm hearing the word family. Our family is going to grow in Wilmington. And I saw the atmosphere shift already down there.
Yeah.
The demonic is leaving.
Yeah. Sure.
Because of your yes.
Woo.
So we just bless you in Jesus'
name. Yes, we bless you.
Amen, Lord. And we just thank you for all these words.
Yes.
Lord, we're reminded in the book of Acts that on the laying on of hands of the apostles' hands, Lord, that your authority is being imparted. So, Lord, we just thank you for the authority being imparted to these, Lord, to Ryan and Mary. Lord, the authority to have the keys of the kingdom.
Yes.
Lord, they have the keys. They have the keys to Papa's Oldsmobile, God. They have the keys, Lord. The keys of authority. And we just thank you for that. Yeah. We bless them.
Yes.
Every word that's been spoken, may it not return void, but grow richly. So we just bless them. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, guys, for being here.